It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up? Welcome to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, joined at the hip, as always, by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. So all three arms of Fade the Noise are pumping out a ton of content daily. We have 800-plus items of content live already. So articles, videos, podcasts, whatever your flavor is. So FTN Prop Shop is also live. That is basically your 100% free Google search engine for prop bets. So you go on there, search any team, player, etc. across all legal sports books, click on the prop you want, and get transported to that site. So head over to ftnbets.com/prop-shop and to take that baby for a test drive. So on today's show, we have a special guest. We are going to do a live mock draft with Marcus Grant from NFL.com. You can find him on Twitter at Marcus G. Marcus, what's up, man?
I'll tell you what, you guys are pumping out a lot of content over there at FTN. So like, imagine when there are actually sports, you know, not like, you know, sprinkled baseball games here and there or whatever. Like when we have like actual sports and like the world gets sort of back to normal, you guys are going to be insane.
Oh, it's been crazy, man. I that's why I keep shouting out our editors. I feel almost sorry for them because they've been relentlessly on the grind for weeks, even before we went live. Adam, what's up, baby?
Yeah, appreciate Marcus coming on. Yeah, it's like I was thinking that exact thing yesterday because baseball started to, you know, get off the ground and we launched. You know, we're not even a month in and it's just been awesome. The support's been great and yeah, appreciate Marcus coming on for a very fun episode. It's going to be something I've yet to do on a podcast, which I'm excited about.
I mean, mock drafts are always wild, man. You just never can tell what's going to happen. So yeah, we put this out on Twitter yesterday. It's going to be a 12-team, one quarterback, start two running back, three wide receivers, one tight end, and a flex. We're going to have five bench and no kickers or defense. I'm sorry if that's your pleasure, then you're going to have to go somewhere else. You might as well turn the pod off right now. Before we get into this mock draft real fast, I guess really the only news of note that's come out, Jamal Adams got sent to the Seahawks for what looks like a truckload of picks. I mean, the 2021 first, 2021 third, and then next year's first and Bradley McDougal. Marcus, what's your quick thoughts on Jamal Adams heading north to Seattle?
I mean, I know that Adams had said himself that if the Jets were going to trade him, they were going to have to get a ransom. And, I mean, they got just about everything from Seattle short of the Space Needle. We'll see if this is, you know, Pete Carroll's attempt to sort of rebuild the Legion of Boom. But, I mean, look, I know they gave up a lot in draft capital. But let's remember, this team was, what, a handful of yards away from winning the NFC West last year. So maybe they feel like this is the move that gets them over the top, knowing that, you know, that window, especially with Russell Wilson, could be closing very quickly.
A lot of people are worried about the picks they're giving up. But like Marcus said, like you have, what, maybe the second best quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's not getting any younger. And this defense was pretty bad last year, especially like their pass rush is still going to be really bad. Like I jokingly tweeted out yesterday that Jamal Adams might lead this team in sacks, but I actually don't know if it's a joke. Their pass rush was that bad last year, but no, you put, you know, a game changer on defense like Jamal Adams with an offense that should continue to be pretty good, especially if DK Metcalf continues to emerge. And you know, this Seattle team, the NFC, the NFC is wide open. In the AFC, we would imagine it's you know, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and those guys for years to come. But the NFC, you know, could go a lot of ways. So I kind of like this trade for Seattle, and you know, the Jets can rebuild if they have to down the line. So it should be interesting.
I mean, the Jets got just a ton of draft equity here. I like the move for both sides, honestly. Like I get it. I mean, what was the last time we actually saw Seattle like draft besides taking Penny in the first round? Their usual move is to trade down anyway.
And they and their first round picks are always bad anyway.
Exactly. So if anything, that just helps Carroll out for not picking a bad player or a running back in the first round. For New York, I mean, dude, I like it for New York. All right, man. So let's get into this mock draft. So like I said, this is going to be PPR, 12 team. We're going to run this bad boy. It's going to be 13 rounds.
Just started it, and for those listening, Marcus has the third pick, I have the fourth pick, and D-Bro is on the opposite end of the spectrum with pick number 12, and And no surprise, McCaffrey goes 101. Assuming this is Barkley at 102, it's Zeke. So I think Marcus has a relatively early Christmas present, potentially.
Yeah, that was not something I was expecting. So I'll just take Saquon and say thank you at number three.
And that makes my pick even easier because, you know, fourth pick overall, it's actually probably the easiest pick of the draft, getting the fourth pick, because, you know, I like Michael Thomas, but even, and especially in the three wide receiver league, but
just go ahead and take the running back you're going
to take. Not enough to take Alvin Kamara. Not enough to take Alvin Kamara.
And yeah, let's just say it. So Adam went Kamara. Marcus got gift wrapped Saquon. I took the turn here because I was like, all right, well, somebody's got to be at the butt end of the draft. Fine, I'll take it.
You're talking about me getting Saquon here, though, right? Like, maybe we should have expected that the guy in the number two slot has the Cowboy star as his avatar. So maybe him taking Zeke shouldn't surprise us as much.
And I know we're poo-pooing the Zeke pick, but, I mean, can we kind of safely say, like, he's probably, what, the safest – one of the safest running backs to select in the first round, if you're going to go that direction, like...
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't make this out like this was just an awful pick. Like, it wasn't. It's just a surprise. Like, I don't think most of us expected to see Zeke at two.
And then you have those first four running backs go, and then immediately after, it's Michael Thomas and then Devontae Adams, who... I feel like Devontae Adams is more of a back-end first-round pick, but again, when you're starting three wide receivers, a lot of people, especially right now, I mean, there was those speculating Dalvin Cook reports the other day. Like, I feel like some of these running back situations make it more of a, I don't want to say like a must to take Devontae Adams, but you just feel more comfortable with him as the seventh pick comes off the board. It's Dalvin Cook. So yeah, Tyreek Hill at 1.8. So a lot of these drafters so far going heavy receiver with these three receivers you have to start.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't mind Devontae Adams where he landed there at 1.6. I mean, look, we talked ad nauseum after the draft about how the Packers didn't do anything to help out Aaron Rodgers. So, we always joke that somebody's going to get all of the targets, but really Devontae Adams might get all of the targets in Green Bay because, what I mean, do we believe all of a sudden that Alan Lazard is going to take a huge step forward, or any one of what I call the alphabet crew with like Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Equanimeous St. Brown or whatever? Like, Devontae Adams is probably going to eat quite a bit this year.
Well, and that's a good point. So, Marcus, I was going to ask you, like, they took
that hurts. Drake, right? That hurts. That was the greatest reaction ever.
That's the best reaction.
That's so good.
That just threw me off. Like, I was about to ask you a question, and I'm like, all right, just auto. Oh, man. Okay, let me get back on track since we're off the rails this quickly. What's the earliest you would consider taking one of those top receivers in the draft?
I mean, look, if Saquon hadn't fallen to me, like, I would have seriously thought about taking Michael Thomas at the third overall spot. You know, I mean, for me, it was a toss-up between Thomas and Kamara. But, like, I would have been okay taking MT at 1.3.
Okay. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think it's, like, after you get the top three running backs off the board, I could think you can make a really good case as early as 1.04 or 5 to take the first wide receiver. All right, well, since Drake is gone, I'm going to still double-tap running backs here. I'm going to go Chubb and Miles Sanders. I mean, I love that start at the turn, especially starting two running backs. It gives me a lot of and I'm on a little bit different of an island as some people. What are y'all's thoughts on Nick Chubb? Because I feel like a lot of people are applying last year's usage as far as, like, looking at what Kitchens did with those running backs, how involved Hunt is. I'm actually kind of leaning to the other side with this. Like, I think Chubb could own this backfield, and if we see a little bit more of the usage that we did in Minnesota, could we be underselling Nick Chubb a little bit here, or at least his role, Marcus?
I think I'm one of the people who goes back to last year's usage rates and looks at what happened to Nick Chubb as a pass catcher after Kareem Hunt showed up. Because, look, guys like Chubb, guys like Derrick Henry were something of an anomaly. And I guess Derrick Henry especially, to put up as many fantasy points as he did, to catch as few passes as he did. Now, you know, I mean, Chubb last year had 36 catches, which was, I think, second least among top 10 fantasy running backs. So now if that number goes down even more, that means he's got to be even more special on the ground. That means either the yardage numbers have to go up quite a bit or the touchdown numbers have to go up quite a bit. That's what worries me there. You know, like, I worry that Derrick Henry can sort of repeat what he did last season, because he had, what, 1,500 rushing yards and, I think, what, 18 total touchdowns. touchdowns, that's going to be hard to duplicate. So that's the thing that makes me nervous about Nick Chubb.
Yeah, and for me, I feel like we saw Nick Chubb was uber efficient. The line got massive upgrades at the corners with the tackles. Mm-hmm. And for seeing Nick Chubb get the volume that he got and running for over 5 yards a carry, like for me, I'm almost kind of like, man, it's so salivating to think about what if this rushing attack is even more efficient this year and he still gets around the same volume. I'm like, we could easily see. I mean, he was second in rushing in the NFL last year. Like, yeah. I don't think that it's that crazy to see, like, okay, Nick Chubb run off for, like, 1,700 yards this year. As insane as it sounds.
I got a question, though, like, because you took Sanders on the turn there, right? I've had Miles Sanders phobia. Mostly, and it has nothing to do with Sanders. And it has everything to do with Doug Peterson and the fact that he has never been a one-back guy. And for a while, there was all this talk that the Eagles could bring somebody else in, whether it was Devontae Freeman. I mean, I even heard LeSean McCoy's name thrown around, but whatever. that has worked. And maybe now we're sort of in the clear since training camps are about to open up. So maybe that part has passed. But I still worry, you know, do we see Boston Scott slide in? Do we see some of the other guys slide in there? And that's what worries me about taking Sanders there is I just have this fear that somehow some other running back is going to come in there and maybe not be good enough to be starting on your fantasy roster, but be used enough just to wreck your day on a week-to-week basis.
So the part with Sanders for me is I think his pass game usage is what gives him a higher – ceiling and floor then even if some of those things do come to pass, like they do sign somebody like Freeman or just another grinder back or you know what have you to come in there and steal some of the touches or Boston's got still involved, I think that for me the needle's still pointing up for the Eagles offense, as well as they were first in plays per game last year. Sanders was in the last few years it's only him and Saquon that finished their rookie seasons with more than 800 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards. So I think that the ceiling and the pass game involvement for Sanders is massive. So considering the play volume, I'm willing to take him there because obviously, like, I know he's not going to come back around at the third for me. To get back to the draft real quickly, Travis Kelce went at right after the turn. He went at 202. You saw George Kittle go in the middle of the second. Now we had a little run of wide receivers here with Hopkins, Godwin, Thielen, and Kenny Galladay going. Adam, you and Marcus, I'm really curious your thoughts on, I know you're big into Adam Thielen this year. Why did you take did you think he wasn't going to come back around after the turn to the third, or kind of walk me through the Adam Thielen pick here?
Yeah, it helps that I'm extremely high on him anyway. But, you know, with Marcus having gone Barkley, like I knew there would be, and actually the first overall pick was running back to start, but I just think Adam Thielen's going to walk into 150 targets. I think we talked about it. I think Minnesota passes more than people think. And I actually have him ranked higher than guys like Mike Evans and Juju and Kenny Galladay. So, yeah, just kind of followed as my rankings kind of suggest and took my favorite player on the board. And now I'm stuck here at the fourth pick of the third round. And I got some decisions to make because the reason I took Thielen mainly is because I'm not big on Aaron Jones this year. I didn't want to take him in the end of the second rounds. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is more of a spot where I'd be comfortable taking him. But there's still some really good receivers there. I don't know how many of them are going to be left on the way back in a three-wide receiver league. I'm struggling here. I could also go Patrick Mahomes in the third round.
Really?
Lamar Jackson's off the board now. He went the second pick of this third round.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do is potentially make Debro mad. And I'm going to double down a receiver and take DJ Moore.
Oh, you... I was hoping he was coming back to me. That was my pick. I'm
it happened
done.
So like, far away from your pick. Like, you can't really be mad. Like, there's still, like, eight picks before you. Like, you know, like, I always try to be mad about stuff like that. And then I'm like, okay, well, it was, like, eight picks away. Like, maybe I shouldn't be upset.
Also, like, D-Bro, I'm assuming your least favorite pick of the draft is 211, right?
Yeah.
It was Le'Veon Bell, by the way.
Yeah, I everybody can see this draft board. It's definitely Le'Veon Bell at 211.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the Le'Bell pick, like, especially, like, considering that there's a little run of running backs there, I mean, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Carson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went after him. I would not be taking Le'Veon Bell over any one of those guys. I just, I get the offensive line's better, but I don't think the offensive environment's any better. Marcus, yeah. How are you feeling about your team right now? You got Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, and Mike Evans.
I'm kind of excited about this start.
I like it.
You know, I mean, partially, like, it was funny because I sat there at 210 and was like, do I go Galladay? Do I go Evans? And I went Galladay just because I really do think big things are coming from Matthew Stafford this year. Like, he was having a really solid year last year before he got hurt. I think when he got hurt, I think he was like the QB 6 or 8, something like that. I mean, he's having a really good year. He gets hurt. Obviously, everything falls apart when you've got David Blau throwing the football at some point. But if Stafford's back and healthy, Galladay's going to be his number one target. And then it just so worked out that we come back around on the turn, and Mike Evans, who was the other guy I was debating in that spot, was still sitting there. If I'm rolling out with Mike Evans as my wide receiver too, I mean, I don't know how mad I can really be about that.
I love the Mike Evans pick, and I feel like he gets so disrespected. Like, people talk about Brady not being able to toss the deep ball. The other side of this coin is that, like, people assume that Mike Evans is not out there running 9 routes every freaking snap. Like, it's ridiculous. Almost 50% of his routes last year were of an ADOT of 12 or less. And so I think it's absolutely crazy. I love the value you got on both of those wide receivers. I mean, I'm huge into Kenny Galladay, and I know this is, of course, a mock draft, and a Marvin Jones stan lives on this podcast. So I know that we do like Marvin Jones, but I'm a huge Kenny Galladay guy. Like, if you look at his role and just how this offense operates, his role inside the 10 was absolute money last year. I think that they could easily pick up, like, with Stafford under center, they were a top 10 scoring NFL offense.
Dude, I'm telling you, if Stafford stays healthy and Marvin Jones and Galladay stay healthy, like, before Stafford got hurt and before Marvin Jones got hurt, obviously, Galladay and Marvin Jones at one point, and it wasn't like 2 weeks in the season. It was a decent sample size. They were 1 and 2 in touchdowns. Like, they could legitimately both be top 5 in touchdown receptions this year and both be in double digits, because we still don't project the Lions. I know DeAndre Swift is my favorite running back from this class. We don't project him to be an above average running offense, at least not yet. And they just haven't shown us that. So, yeah, I'm kind of all in on the Lions outside of their backfield this year.
Whoever's at 11 is
yeah 11 here. Is giving like, you TD Bryan
Juju, and I'm just like, come on,
TD Bryan does like, these drafts that I boast a lot, and he is just taking all the nice guys you want. Juju at the 311 right before your pick, right? Now you're on
well,
the clock.
You know what, I'm gonna kind of lean into this real fast. I'm a big proponent of some of these receivers and stuff. I'm actually going to lean in and go a little bit more running back heavy here. I'm going to take David Johnson. And I know a lot of people are not huge into him this year. I love David Johnson. I feel like outside of injury is the only concern. And it's a big if. But outside of that, what are we talking about as far as like the concerns for him? He's going to get volume. I think that the Texans line could be they're underrated in my eyes. If you look at a lot of adjusted line yard metrics, they were top 12 in it last year. I think that this could be – we could be underselling this offense a little bit. But I know where Adam stands on this. Marcus, where are you at on David Johnson and the Texans?
I like DJ. Look, I would say that I don't know that I would – I won't say you reach for him there, because I understand, like, with the turn and stuff, knowing that he may not be back, you know, he may not come back there when you're back on the clock again. So I get it. I get you taking him where you did. But I'm sort of with you. I mean – everybody sort of likes to dump on him. But if you go back, and I went back and I watched those first 5 or 6 games from last year when he was still healthy, and he looked good. He played well. He looked like he had something in the tank. Then he gets hurt, and I think he rushed back from that back injury, first of all. And then once Kenyon Drake showed up and was lights out, I think that really forced him to try and rush his way back in, and it just wasn't good for him. But we're talking about, you know, playing behind an offensive line where Carlos Hyde had 1,000 yards, his first 1,000-yard season last year. So with nobody to really take those carries, Johnson, as you mentioned, should get plenty of volume. If there is a concern, it's that Deshaun Watson generally doesn't check the ball down. But he also hasn't really had any running backs, you know, to catch passes sort of like this. I mean, I know they got Duke Johnson. My thing with Duke Johnson is – and this happened in Cleveland, and it's happening in Houston, right? Duke Johnson is a good running back, but he's always been on team with better running backs. And Duke Johnson is a good receiver, but he's always been on teams with better receivers. And so he sort of is that tweener. But you know, long story short, I kind of like DJ. I think he bounces back. And I think if you're using him as a second or third running back, like, I think you're in really good hands.
Yeah, and I just feel like you saw the Texans also, they went more run heavy inside the red zone. I mean, Deshaun Watson showed that. He had a career high in rushing touchdowns last year. I think that David Johnson, as long as he stays healthy, I think he has double-digit touchdown upside. So after David Johnson, I went ahead and took my first receiver. I went Amari Cooper, and then we have a little receiver run. It went Odell, DK, A.J. Brown, and Calvin Ridley. Any quick thoughts there, Adam, on those receivers that just went?
I kind of like the Metcalf over A.J. Brown pick. Most people would probably prefer A.J. Brown. They're both going to be great, and that's why receivers are so fun this year, because these sophomores are so good. But, yeah, we've now seen, what, six straight receivers to start the fourth round.
Where are y'all at? Because I think it's and I am a huge Calvin Ridley stan. I almost think it's a little bit egregious, the fact that DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown went ahead of Calvin Ridley.
That hurts.
Sorry. I'm lamenting the Ross. Were you going
to
take
Ross? Oh, yeah, he wasn't getting to you, Marcus. There was no way he's getting to you.
Both
you
go,
that was. I rescind my growl. Like, it just didn't matter then. Okay.
Oh, that hurts. That really hurts.
Good, I'm not the only one feeling pain on this episode.
I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like, please, just come on, just two more picks. Like, please. But never mind. All right.
So, I mean, obviously, y'all both are really high on Robert Woods. If you would have had Cooper Kupp still on the board, would you have still gone Robert Woods? Or
easy.
Which receiver out of the Rams would you have picked?
Yeah, I probably would have waited. I mean, look, and I think Kupp's going to have a great year, but I probably would have waited just because of the draft price for Robert Woods versus Cooper Kupp. Like, that's where I would have gone.
I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor here. I don't take him very often because he usually goes in, like, the middle of the third round, but at 4.9 is my second running back. Ton of upside, and this is mainly a I'm going to pick shortly again after this, and B, I'm just really mad that Robert Woods isn't on my team.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, sort of the same, right? Like, I'm left trying to pick up the pieces here and figure out what to do. So I think for that reason, I'm gonna go Mark Ingram, and, like, because I don't know about you guys, I'm not so worried about J.K. Dobbins this year. You know, maybe next year is when the opportunity really opens up for him, but I still think Mark Ingram is going to be the lead back there. The only big concern is that Lamar Jackson is the dude who runs for the touchdowns on that team, but I still think opportunity-wise, in terms of touches and stuff, I think Ingram's going to be fine. So now that we've done that, with Keenan Allen, DJ Chark, then third round, Terry McLaurin, which sort of hurts because I was sort of eyeing him in this spot. I was eyeing McLaurin in this spot here, so he's gone. Tyler Lockett's gone, so now I gotta do a little bit of scrambling here, and I don't really love anybody necessarily in this slot.
Tight end still on the board is interesting.
I'm gonna go.
I
like it.
Stephon Diggs so far this offseason. I've drafted him in a lot of spots, which means I'm sort of banking on Josh Allen being able to hit the broadside of a barn downfield. But if you can, it'll be great.
Yeah.
As much as Adam will debate, that's a big if for me.
I will not debate it. I'm a homer, but I'm not blind. I understand he has accuracy issues. I'm torn on this pick here at the 5.4 because I have two receivers. It's a three-receiver league. There's players I like at all positions right now. There's also both Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz are on the board still. Andrews at 5.4 is really interesting to me. But I'm going to go ahead and lock up my flex spot with 15 carries a game and Dave Montgomery. It's a boring pick, but also helps solidify the carries that, you know, if we were playing this team out, that I would get if Jonathan Taylor didn't, you know, come out right away in the regular season and get those carries right away. So I'll solidify that with Dave Montgomery, who I am always comfortable taking in this part of the draft. And apparently the chat is not happy with me, so I've done my job.
I feel like maybe it's because I got burned on David Montgomery last year that I've just got a sour taste in my mouth. Like, I really believed he was going to do big things, and he was just meh. So, like, you know, I should get out of my feelings. Like, I'm totally in my feelings about this, and I should probably let that go, but that's sort of how I feel about David Montgomery.
I just think he's like, only Leonard Fournette has saw a higher percentage of a team's carries inside the 10 than Montgomery. He was at 87.5%. And yeah, you can say, okay, the Bears aren't going to be scoring a lot of points. Oh, Debro's not happy. but they, you know, they were bottom three in both yards and plays per drive last year. They can't be worse than that, so I'm fine with Montgomery. And Cam Akers goes two picks later, and Debro is just having a rough day. That's all I can say.
I thought Cam Akers would make it, but it's a long way away. I can't fault the pick. I like that pick right there.
As he grimaces his teeth.
Are you buying the Sean McVay, you know, we're going to use all our running backs quotes that came out from last week or whenever they were?
I'm not. I mean, to me, I'm like, what do we expect him to say at this point in the offseason? I mean, besides Frank Reich, has anybody like come out and just anointed their rookies as being, you know, the next best thing in the NFL? I mean, even like with the running backs, I think that Taylor's easily the most talented back there and has the best skill set. But I'm curious your thoughts, because I'm a giant Cam Akers stan. So
I know that first off, I feel like after draft season, Cam Akers should have officially changed his name to Cam Akers who ran behind a bad offensive line at Florida State, because that was what everybody talked about him like, right? I mean, so here's the thing. I know everybody kind of fell back on the McVay statement and was like, well, what else is he supposed to say? And I'm like, we've seen plenty of times where guys come in, where coaches come in and say, hey, look, you know, we got this young kid. We got Akers. We like him. We want him to get some opportunity. He's going to have to earn it, which is very different than we got three guys we can use. You know, it's one thing if you're like, hey, look, we have this guy and we think he can be something and we really want him to work up to that. But to say, like, you know, to like name check all these guys and be like, yeah, this guy can do this and this guy can do that. Because he showed us last year, right? He said before the season last year, like, hey, we aren't going to use Todd Gurley in the same sort of way. And everybody's like, whatever. And then like, they didn't use Todd Gurley in the same sort of way. So I think there are things about which we can't trust Sean McVay, AKA like, you know, health and injury reports. But I think in terms of player usage, I feel like he really may throw us for a loop and we may see like, you know, Daryl Henderson, we may see Malcolm Brown. I mean, hopefully if we get down to John Kelly, then, you know, just throw the whole thing out the window.
I don't know. I'm very high on Akers. I just don't think that, I mean, if Henderson couldn't beat out Brown last year as taking the two back role there, I just don't know if it happens this year when I think Akers is immensely, immensely talented. So I'm kind of torn here. That wide receiver run put me on frickin' tilt. I'm just going to take some value that falls to me and a guy that I think is being maligned a little bit, considering that with Phillip Rivers here, I do think the Colts get back to passing more. So I'm going to go with T.Y. Hilton as my wide receiver two here, because with Reich, I mean, outside of last year with Jacoby Brissett, that's the only year since he's been head coach, offensive coordinator, that when they finished 24th in passing attempts last year, that's the only year that they've been outside of the top 14. So I do think that they get back to passing the ball this year.
For what it's worth, by the way, and look, this could be, again, a smokescreen in July, Brian Baldinger on self-promotion here on NFL Network did make the point today that he talked to Frank Reich, and Reich says they want to run the ball a lot. They want to, you know, hashtag establish the run. So, again, this could be one of those things that coaches say in July that by the time we get to September, like, means absolutely nothing. But, you know, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And we've talked about T.Y. a lot, D-Bro. He's kind of like, remember the last couple years before his injury, how everybody was like, A.J. Green, he's going to be really good, but he's boring. He's going to be like top 10, but is he ever going to be like, I kind of think that's how T.Y. Hilton has become. He's, when he's on the field, he's always going to be good. He's never going to be elite, but Phillip Rivers being there is an upgrade. I'm interested to see if they use him down the field more. Last year, T.Y. Hilton had his lowest yards per catch in his career, and his ADOT was among the lowest, too, because Jacoby Brissett didn't throw down the field. He was like bottom three in air yards per attempt. Rivers, whether his deep ball is great at this point of his career, is not really questioned. It's definitely lacking, but he's going to be way more aggressive. So I'm interested to see if they use him deeper down the field this year with Rivers.
So I think that Rivers' deep ball is trash. I just think that he's going to be more accurate. I think he's going to be more accurate in the short and intermediary, especially if you look at play action percentages, things like that. I think that just in those, because besides deep ball, like, him and Brissett are both trash throwing it down the field. But as far as like in the short and intermediate areas of the field, I feel like he could be better and hit T.Y. in stride. But after that pick, the guy that just got his contract reworked, Raheem Mostert, what are y'all's thoughts on him going here in the sixth round? And just in general, like, if Raheem was to fall back to y'all and you needed a running back, would you feel comfortable, Adam, kick this off, would you feel comfortable taking Raheem Mostert in the sixth round?
I wouldn't feel uncomfortable, but I would just feel better about taking Tevin Coleman like the 10th. And I've kind of been that way all offseason, so. And I also believe that Marvin Jones is going to be picked in this round, which is too early, but I'm drafting with people who I've drafted with before, so I'm about to be really mad in about 35 seconds. But anyway, Marcus, what do you think about Mostert? Because, yeah, I guess we should have led with that. He agreed to working on his contract, and he's set to be with the 49ers again.
Right. The first thing I would say is I didn't really understand the general panic and like the free fall he took in ADP when he announced that he wanted a trade. And I'm like, yeah, there are lots of things I want too. Doesn't mean they're going to happen. You know, I mean, like he didn't really have any leverage. So like, I don't know why everybody freaked out and thought something, but like this seemed like the inevitable outcome anyway. I would feel better about him as my third running back and not my second running back. Just going back through what he did last year at the end of the year, obviously was great in the back part of the season. I think 7 touchdowns in 5 games, and he was a big play guy. So first off, the touchdown volume in that short amount of time seems really hard to duplicate. So that's part of it. The other part is that he was a big play guy. I think he had 12 or 15 runs, something like that, of 10 or more yards. It just, these are all things that seem really hard for him to do again, especially over the course of 16 games. But I do think he's going to be the lead back, and he's going to be the guy who gets like 200 touches there, which is a lot in a Kyle Shanahan offense. And so that, you know, gives me at least some encouragement. But again, like anything more than a third running back or a low end RB2, I think that's asking for a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think the touchdown percentage comes back down. I just, for me, it's he didn't get it. Like, I know everybody has that lasting impression of when they just steamrolled the Packers. But he wasn't a guy that stacked a lot of volume as far as carries. He was just uber efficient and had the touchdown volume. And he didn't get a lot of work in the passing game. So even at the 6th round, I just find myself in like no man's land. I almost feel like that's my – I mean, and obviously I did it this round, but I feel like that's one of my wide receiver-esque rounds. Like, there's just a lot of running backs that fall going through the ones that were selected this round. You had Mostert, Devin Singletary, Damian Williams, Rojo, Swift. It's a lot of guys and a lot of different it depends on where you stand on them. Like, you got to take your stances. And Marcus, you took Damian Williams, so do you think that he starts out with the job? I mean, what are your thoughts on the Chiefs backfield, because I know people are very divided on it?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you didn't let me talk on this, I was going to bully my way in and talk about Damian Williams anyway. Yeah, no, I'm still here, right? And I know you can't necessarily pin, you know, this season's production on last season's, you know, play, but I do think there's something to the fact that Damian Williams very well could have been and probably should have been the Super Bowl MVP, and the fact that he is still a very good running back who, when given the opportunity late last season, no pun intended, ran with it. I'm torn on this whole talk of rookies in this weird offseason and their conditioning and their ability to get up to speed. Like, I don't really know how to feel. I go back and forth on that. But I just, for where people are drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like, you want that to be a guy that you know is either going to be the true workhorse or at least get the preponderance, the majority of the touches. And I just don't see that. Like, I just don't see Damian Williams completely fading away. And that makes, you know, that makes CEH in the second round just way too risky for me. So I'm still willing to bank on D-Will. And even more, like, again, where you get him and what you're expecting of him says a lot. I have him as my third running back. So if it turns out that he's still the starter and gets that work, I'm feeling great about life. And if it's not what I think it's going to be, I'm not necessarily relying on him week to week.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And especially, I mean, I feel like you either got to be on one side of the fence or the other with the Kansas City backfield, because it's not volume that Reed's backs live off of to really hit their ceilings. It's
You're
the
about to be mad at me,
equity.
By the way. I'm just
Oh,
just
no. No way. No way.
I was going through and, like, I just didn't love any of my options. And I'm like, you know what? This is it. We're doing this now. We're taking Marvin Jones here. That's what we're doing.
Right before me, man.
Which I know, and I know I've got Kenny Galladay. I know that, but still, it's like, this just seems like this is the best option for me right now.
First of all, I'm not mad at you because it's the best pick of the draft that you just made of the entire draft. So, man, so I took Brandon Cooks right before Marcus took Damian Williams, and I was literally licking my chops at the fact that I was hopefully going to get not only Brandon Cooks, but Marvin Jones, probably my two favorite mid-round receivers. It's a great pick, though. Great pick. Elite pick. But yeah, I'm at the 7-4. Still don't have a quarterback or a tight end. And when I get to this range, I just keep waiting at tight end. I wish Deebo Samuel was 100% healthy because I loved him coming to the season, but it's a little bit scary right now. I might go back and kind of do what Marcus did and kind of double dip on receivers. I'm thinking about taking Will Fuller. I know that Derek wants him. This is tough. I mean, if I do take him, you can blame Marcus.
I can promise you he won't make it back to you. I'm just going to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Since we're talking the table here.
So, you mentioned tight end, too. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this because I felt like in the drafts, the mock drafts, and some of the real drafts I've done, right, when I go tight end, if I make the move to go early, you know, if I've drafted Kittle in a couple spots early, or I'll go late, you know, and get somebody at the back end, I feel a lot better about those drafts than if I take a swing at somebody in the middle. Like if I, you know, like Evan Engram went right before my Marvin Jones pick at 7-2, right? Like if I go in the middle and I get, you know, an Engram, a Hunter Henry, I just don't like the build of the rest of the team around that. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this when we had Justin Boone on for the tight ends. Like, I feel like it's either pay up or punt. I feel like you're either going to go with one of those top few options. I find myself with a lot of Mark Andrews this year, especially like if he falls to the third, whew, I'll grab him there all day.
I really wanted to take him in the fifth round. I probably should have.
Man, I would if he didn't go there, I would have taken him in the fifth. And I love Mark Andrews this year, but I feel like it's either one of those top three, maybe four guys. Like I feel like the fall off is after Andrews. Like, it's not that I hate Ertz because he's going to have 100 targets. It's just, where's the ceiling? Like, it's really difficult to imagine, even in the best case of scenarios, like where Zach Ertz could be the tight end one. Whereas, like, with Mark Andrews, I can talk myself into, yes, he can match Kelce or Kittle with touchdown equity and volume and things of that nature. But I agree. Like, it's pay up or punt for me. And if I'm not getting one of those top, pretty much, if it's not Kelce, Kittle, or Andrews, then I'm just going to wait. I don't want to touch tight ends in these middle rounds.
I did take Will Fuller. I'm not happy about it. Not that I don't like Will Fuller. I just didn't want D-Bro to have to suffer another heartbreak in this draft. But what do you think of that? Because I took Brandon Cooks around before, and that doesn't seem like the most stable pairing, but we talked about this plenty on this podcast, Marcus. We really like the Texans offense. I think Deshaun Watson could legitimately be an MVP candidate this year. Brandon Cooks, I wrote an article about him and Will Fuller being potentially one of the most underrated pass catching duos in fantasy. Brandon Cooks' splits are ridiculous, indoor and outdoor, since 2015. Now, I know he played with the Saints and they just had such a great offense, but I mean, this offense is still going to be very, really good. You know, his receiving touchdowns go up by 0.14. When he's indoor, his receiving yards go up by over 10 per game. Fantasy points go up by about 3 per game. He's really good indoors, and I mean, he has injury concerns. So does Will Fuller. But what are the odds both these guys get hurt? Like, I should have one of them, right?
I was gonna say, like, if I put a number at, let's call it 23. We'll call it 25, right? The combined number of games played by Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. Are you going over or under on that?
Man, it's really close to that. I think it's probably very close to that. I think that you either got to take your stand. You're either in on them or not. I'll go over. The heck with it. I'll be the guy with the glass half full. Adam, where do you sit?
I'll slightly lean over too.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. Like, I think that's, you talk about making your stand, right? And I think that's sort of the important part here, is that you look at these guys and you decide, hey, look, yes, I understand that they have had a history of injuries and that there's a very good chance that it could happen again, but understanding and expecting above average production when they are there. I mean, we know what the numbers are like for Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson when they're on their field together. They're amazing. We know what Brandon Cooks can be when he's at his best. So as long as you have some insurance somewhere else on your roster just to sort of make up for any potential games missed, then I think you're going to be fine. I think I saw Chris Raybon tweeting about that recently too, that people look at Will Fuller and they're like, oh, he's injury prone, and they pass on him. But the idea being that when he is there, he's going to be fantastic. And I think as long as you just are comfortable with knowing, you know, what the risks are, then make that move. Go do it.
Debra. Yeah, and I would have smashed Will Fuller here.
Yeah, I know
just
you would
at
have.
That
I'm
point.
Sorry.
Like, I think that his upside is immense, especially considering right now, I just took Darius Slayton. I don't want to, you know, poo-poo my pick here, but at wide receiver 37, it's all about upside for me. So if it's not Fuller, I'm massively into Darius Slayton this year. Mm-hmm. I just think that he's going to be great. I think that at this point of the draft, you're shooting for upside, and Slayton is the guy that I gravitate to a lot, considering that, like, he's the guy that's different from everybody else they have there. He's a 4.3 guy, burner on the outside. We saw him win in his rookie season. I get the big impression that if Darius Slayton was, say, on the Chiefs, there would be a far different narrative over a receiver that in his rookie season had 740 yards and 8 touchdowns versus what people think of him. But I know Adam's heard my take on Slayton, but Marcus, what are your thoughts on, I guess, the Giants pass catchers and Darius Slayton for this year?
I love Slayton. You know, I've sort of also, even though I haven't drafted Daniel Jones in a lot of spots, I do believe in him kind of taking a big step forward this year. But I think Slayton, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being their leading receiver this year. I mean, I just think he's explosive. I think that the opportunity is going to be there. And look, I mean, we talk about the Texans wide receivers and whether or not they're going to be healthy for a full season. I mean, I think in a lot of ways you can sort of say that about some of the Giants pass catchers, right? We haven't seen Evan Engram play 16 games yet in his career. You know, I know Golden Tate spent some time injured last year. Sterling Shepard was out for a while last year. So, you know, if history repeats itself, then there should be plenty of opportunity there. But I don't have any problem at all with where you took Slayton there.
Yeah, so currently, just to kind of give a quick rundown, my team as it stands through the first 8 rounds, I smacked running backs through the first 3 with Chubb, Sanders, and David Johnson, and now it's just been wide receivers all day for me. So Amari, T.Y., Cortland Sutton, just grabbed Darius Slayton, and then right before after the turn, I went Deontay Johnson. So it's all upside with these receivers for me. Adam, kind of give me a quick rundown of your team so far, and how are you feeling?
Could be feeling a lot better. No, I started with Alvin Kamara, followed up with Adam Thielen and DJ Moore, which I'm really happy with. Jonathan Taylor at the end of towards the end of the 4th round, I kind of couldn't pass it up. Then Dave Montgomery, Brandon Cooks, and Will Fuller, I stacked those two together. So yeah, I'm liking my team. And I did like your back-to-back picks with Slayton and Deontay Johnson, because I feel like your receivers, there's some question marks with a couple of them, but that could get erased quickly with the upside that Slayton and Johnson have this year.
Marcus, how are you feeling about your team through, 7 rounds so far?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling all right. I mean, I started with Saquon Barkley, backed that up with Kenny Golladay and Mike Evans, followed that with Mark Ingram, Stephon Diggs in the 5th round, Damian Williams, Marvin Jones. I mean, I love my start at 1-3. Even Mark Ingram, I feel pretty good about. I think with Diggs, you know, it's what happens with Stephon Diggs is not reliant completely on Stephon Diggs. That is a little bit worrisome. I still do believe that Damian Williams is going to have a nice solid role there in Kansas City. And, you know, the fact that I gave you guys heartburn by taking Marvin Jones makes that pick completely worth it. So, I'm actually feeling all right about this team so far.
Well, that was back-to-back picks of pain, because you took Marvin and then Adam took Will Fuller. So I think we were all kind of smarting through that round. And now we're seeing a decent little wide receiver run. You have Emmanuel Sanders, Crowder, Jalen Reagor, Debo Samuel, and Christian Kirk all going right now in the middle of the 8th.
What do you think of Kyler? This is the latest I've seen him go in a long time, 7.8.
I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, it's earlier considering a 1 quarterback format than I'm usually ever going to take a quarterback. But what are your thoughts on Kyler for this year, Marcus?
I mean, I love Kyler. You know, I feel like I think the hype is sort of evening out a little bit. You know, I think at the end of last year, the hype behind Kyler was high. Like there was never any draft discount on Kyler Murray this year, because the hype from the end of last year was that, like, hey, if there's going to – oh, did you really take Marlon Mack?
I had to solidify the Colts backfield and didn't even know you wanted them. So double win for me.
Man, that just – sorry, that completely derailed my train of thought. Like, but no, I mean, like, at the end of last year, we were looking at Kyler like, hey, if there's going to be a guy who can sort of replicate what Lamar Jackson did to a degree, it's going to be Kyler Murray. And so because of that, the draft discount was immediately gone there. But I think we sort of calmed down now that he's, you know, you talk about him being in the seventh round and that being later, because I have seen him, you know, fourth, fifth round sort of thing. So I think maybe we're all sort of coming to our senses a little bit on Kyler. I'm so torn right now. I don't even know. This is the guy that I like, Justin Jefferson.
Ooh, I like the pick.
I think Justin Jefferson very sneakily could end up being the top rookie fantasy receiver.
I flip-flopped him and Jalen Reagor for like,
I don't think
weeks
he's the
now.
Guy with the highest ceiling overall, but at least in terms of what he walks into and the opportunities that will be there for him, I think he's got the chance to be the number one rookie receiver in fantasy.
I totally agree.
I like that. And we've seen a lot of these rookies go off the board. I mean, Reagor, CeeDee Lamb, and Jefferson all went in the middle of that, or in the eighth round. But I love that pick, because if Thielen's injury concerns, heck, if age catches up to him, and I know I don't want to crap all over Adam's pick, because he took, God, where did you take Thielen at? I mean, 2.9. It was rich, man. I know, but he was, what, 1, 2, 3, 4? He was wide receiver.
Yeah, I took him over Galladay. That's where I have him ranked. Wide receiver 7. That's literally where I have him ranked.
I mean, it's rich. I don't hate it. I just got a quote on it. Like,
no, yeah.
If Thielen does take a step back, Jefferson would be fighting with Irv Smith, or what, the number one option in this passing offense. So
I love how you threw that in there. But you're right.
Yes, I am gonna. I'm gonna sneak Irv Smith in the back door. We will talk about Irv Smith on nearly every episode if I can.
Hayden Hurst. Oh, that hurts. Literally.
Somebody in the chat actually said, "Were you gonna go Hurst in this round?" Somebody in the chat called it. They were like, "All right, Adam's going Hurst in this round." Was that your pick, Adam?
He was gonna be my pick if he lasted. And it's funny, I wasn't planning on taking Marlon Mack there until I looked, and I was like, there's still some good tight ends left. I can wait, and, you know, I'll solidify the Colts' backfield, and then Hayden Hurst comes off the board. But there's still some solid tight ends.
And I was actually going to comment, I feel like the tight ends have kind of dropped in this draft so far, because you saw Kelce and Kittle go in the second round, then Ertz and Andrews lasted till the fifth, which is late for them. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, right now, we're at Evan Engram went as the tight end 5 in the 7th, 6th, 7th. I mean, really, you've only got 7 tight ends off the board through 9 rounds right now. So I feel like I was kind of curious if we were going to see a tight end run throughout like this next round and maybe into round 10.
We're gonna start to, because Waller and Hurst coming off the board in 2 of the last 5 or 6 picks before me makes this decision pretty easy for me. I'm going to take Tyler Higbee. I know I could wait and get these other guys, but the problem is, I know Debro likes a lot of the tight ends I like that are coming off the board later, so I'll take Higbee. We'll see. I think the Higbee-Gerald Everett playing time is going to be one of the more interesting things in fantasy, because Gerald Everett was playing pretty well before he got hurt, and then Higbee just had, you know, 4 straight 100-yard games. You're not taking him off the field. Plus, Everett wasn't 100% healthy anyway, but yeah, I still think, even if you expect him to, you know, he's obviously not going to have 100 yards, you know, all the time. He had some great matchups, too. But even if you expect him to take a step back, with Brandon Cooks being gone and with what I think could be a pretty pass-heavy team if they struggle to run the ball, I still think he's a pretty clear-cut top 8 tight end at worst.
So, Marcus, your Keyshawn Vaughn pick here in the 9th, we saw...
By the way, Brad Evans must love your team, because you have Keyshawn Vaughn and Damian Williams. Just saying.
Oh man, now I'm feeling bad about it. Like, I love Brad, but like, especially when Brad gets on these like rookie running backs and stuff, like, man, like that's a hill that he will die on.
The coffin nail, basically.
It really, I mean, go back to whether it was David Montgomery. Like, he and I kind of we climbed that hill together, but then it was I think Devontae Booker a couple years ago that he beat that horse to death and then some. So now, like, if you're telling me that he's waving the Keyshawn Vaughn flag, like, I don't really know what to do with that Tampa backfield, right? The USC homer in me wants Ronald Jones to be great, but like, my brain is just like, yeah, I mean, he's probably just meh at best. But I'm not sold that Vaughn walks in there and suddenly just takes complete control of that backfield. Like, again, I say this a lot recently, like, sometimes the answer to the question is none of the above. Like, when we're looking at these battles and stuff like that, like, sometimes the answer is neither. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that the answer to the Tampa Bay backfield battle will be, you know, C, none of the above. Or I guess D, if you're throwing Dare Ogunbowale in there, I guess it's D, none of the above.
So going back to your sixth round pick of Damian, so you had Damian Ronald Jones. Was that an easy slide to just pick Damian over Rojo, or did you have any kind of thought about it?
No, for me, that was easy. I mean, partially because I think Damian Williams is a better back, first of all, but also because I would rather, if you're asking me to pick between the Chiefs offense and the Bucks offense, that's a no-brainer for me.
And you did get Keyshawn Vaughn over two rounds later than Ronald Jones. So, I mean, it's definitely like, their ADPs have kind of fluctuated a lot this offseason, but 9.3 for Keyshawn is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, he's not a guy that, you know, in this setup where I have him drafted, like, I'm not going to be relying on him regularly. So if he turns out to be a gem, then, you know, hey, getting him in the ninth round is a steal.
And so after you took Tyler Higbee, now we have a run. This is kind of like the cuff territory. Right. So Latavius Murray, Zach Moss, or the zero RBs, though, should I say. Murray, Moss, Duke Johnson, Sonny Michel, Bill Blindsey, I'll go here. I'm curious if we see running backs just kind of dominate. I mean, really, like, outside of the two tight ends that have been selected, it's been all running backs this round.
Yeah, Breed is somebody I almost took when I was going to, well, if he was there, when I took Higbee. And there goes Mecole Hardman. I love that pick so much.
So am I weird because I like Jordan Howard? I don't know that I feel like no. Seventh round is a touch early, not crazy mm-hmm. early. Look, I know that we live in a PPR world, and I feel like because of that, like, Jordan Howard has committed the fatal sin of having skillets for hands like that. But other than that, I still think he's a good, talented running back. And last year in Philadelphia, he was a solid RB2 until he got hurt. And I just think that, you know, look, Miami's running game was so bad last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously was their leading rusher. Late in the season, after, you know, we finished making our Twitter jokes about Kalen Ballage, some of us very quietly went to the waiver wire for help and prayed to the Patrick Laird that maybe you could just get us something or anything. So, like, I still think there is a path for Jordan Howard to be productive down there in Miami.
Yeah, I like Howard. I think that for me, it's a curious case because I think the offensive line play kind of factors into that. I'm worried about their offensive line. Like, I think Howard's definitively going to get the goal line and the early down work. I think, like you're talking about, Marcus, it really comes down to where they go in drafts. Like, Howard's not even in consideration for me in the seventh. Like, if he were to fall closer to the eighth or ninth, would I take him? Sure. Not much surprise here, but in talking about all the tight end round, I went Mike Gesicki. I'm not going to let him fall back any farther in this draft. I'm really wondering where I'm going to go with this next pick because running back is looking pretty desolate. I'm going to actually push the button on quarterback here in the 10th round. I'm going to go Carson Wentz. I'm huge on him this year, pretty much this entire Eagles offense. So the ability to also kind of pair him with Miles Sanders early, I love Wentz. I think that the needle is firmly pointing up. Marcus, what are your thoughts as far as the Eagles offense? Do you think, considering what Wentz did last year, do you think that he has we could see 2017 shades this year, or where do you stand on him?
I do. I like him a lot. I mean, I think he's got, and I don't know, like, I think I said this on Twitter, and, you know, because it's on Twitter, I got laughed at or poked fun at or whatever. But I'm like, I think he's got top five upside. Everybody's like, well, duh, of course. Great. I'm like, I don't know if that's a duh, of course sort of thing, because, you know, he struggled to stay healthy and he just hasn't really met that yet. But I do think he's got that sort of potential. I worry that with his pass catchers, it will sort of be like what we saw with the Saints for years, where you knew Drew Brees was going to be a lock to be like a top five quarterback, but you just never could really peg any of his receivers because he would spread the ball around. And I think you'll get that with the guys catching the football. But for Wentz himself, I think, you know, the ceiling is really high for him.
I love Wentz this year. I think that he's in that – he's actually in that Kyler tier for me. I think that he's really got top five upside for me. So after my pick, we saw a little runner wide receivers again, Shepard, Anthony Miller, Curtis Samuel in the 10th round. That feels early to me, but Few quarterbacks, Josh Allen went, Boston Scott, and then Drew Brees. Adam, you're up. Where are you going? Up?
Take Tony Pollard. I've debated taking a quarterback there, but you know, one of the guys in front of me here on the swing already has Lamar Jackson. Marcus does need a quarterback, and so does Justin, who's picking at the one spot. But there's still four or five guys I'm comfortable with if a couple get picked before me. So I'll just take another guy that could be really good. If he could be, I mean, would anybody be shocked if Tony Pollard was like 8 touches a game this year? And then
no, not at all.
No.
Not at all. No. I'm going to go on ahead and get my quarterback here.
The triple stag.
I mean, look, I've got Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones. I might as well just round it out by getting Matthew Stafford and being done with it.
And by the way, Marcus, I was about to take Matthew Stafford, just to let you know.
I would have flipped this computer over and logged off.
I feel like as soon as you grab Marvin Jones, I was like, all right, he's going Stafford later.
I mean, I have to, right? It was almost mandatory.
But so to get back to your pick, Adam, if Josh Allen would have fell to you in this round because he went at the 10-04, would you have gone quarterback?
Yeah, most likely.
That was where I was kind of feeling like you were leaning towards. You got to swerve whenever, you know.
And I will say this about Josh Allen. Yes, I'm a Bills fan. Why is it that, like, whenever we're talking about young quarterbacks, it's, yeah, this guy's going to take, he's going to grow as a passer. He's going to take another step forward, but it's Josh Allen's just doomed. He's never going to get, like, if he gets marginally better, he could be unbelievable, especially with Stephon Diggs. But that's for another day.
He could flame out as the next Blake Bortles or Jameis Winston.
Hey, man.
Just saying, man. Look, I'm giving you the other side of the coin.
You leave Jameis out of this. Jameis is the greatest.
Let's see. I'm going to take a swing with Antonio Gibson here.
Oh, nice pick. That's who I was marking.
So I'll say this with Jameis. So I am part of the, you know, team no PPR. Like or at least modified PPR, like whatever, because of like Julian Edelman and his, you know, 100 catches for 900 yards, which frustrates the hell out of me. Jameis is now my poster child for like changing quarterback scoring because there's just no way on earth a guy who throws 30 interceptions should be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. Like, it just shouldn't happen. And I know it's sort of an anomaly, but like we can do something as a community. We can all band together and make sure that like something weird like that doesn't happen ever again.
This is what agreed. Does anybody know what he would have finished in the SFB format for this year?
I know that when I was looking at scoring real quickly, like, he had, like, negative weeks where, like, your team could have just put up a monster game and he would have scored you, like, negative 20 or 20. Like, it was insane, the swings with Winston from week to week.
I took the perpetually underrated Matt Ryan, by the way. Just always going to be top 7 and always going to be top 5 in passing attempts just every year.
So then we see Ruggs, Hunter Renfrow, John Brown go off the board. Dallas Goedert making the rounds in the 11th round.
Why is Gronk on the board?
Great question.
I assumed Gronk was gone.
I mean, nope. I'm a little bit – I think the pick of Goddard over Gronk is really curious. Like, I don't think it's close. Like, I would have easily gone Gronk over there, but I don't know if y'all feel differently about that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think Goddard – he'll be a nice piece for the Eagles. I don't know that he'll be a great piece for your fantasy squad. I get the apprehension about Gronk because I sort of feel apprehensive about Gronk. So I sort of understand that, but I don't know that I would have taken Goddard over him.
You know what? I'm going to swing at one of the running backs. I feel like I'm a little bit higher on the consensus because I think that he has a definitive role in this offense. And I just got to talk about him. It's Joshua Kelly. I'm actually going to take him here because in this whole tier of Gibson, Damian Harris, Joshua Kelly that have gone in this round, if Marcus wouldn't have taken Gibson, that would have been my pick this round. I think that you're looking – if you're going to go running back this part of the draft, it's looking for the guy that has a standalone role, and I think Kelly does that. I think that he's going to walk into 8 to 10 touches a game. I'm really curious if he gets all the goal line work because last year when Gordon got back – and he's not Gordon – I'm not saying that, but when Gordon got back, he dominated the looks inside the 5 and the 10. I'm going to go N'Keal Harry to kind of earmark behind Kelly here. I like the Cam signing. I think it's good things for the Patriots. I'm a little bit more optimistic on their passing volume than possibly most, Marcus, what do you think about Cam landing in New England? I know this has been talked about a bunch on Twitter and wherever else, but I haven't heard your Cam take yet.
Yeah, I think when Cam is healthy, he's as dominant a fantasy quarterback and a real quarterback as can be, right? I mean, so I think having had essentially a full year off to get healthy, I think we'll do loads for him, especially if he goes back to running the football. Look, I don't expect him to run like he did early in his career. Taking the punishment that he has will sort of slow that down, but I still think he can be an effective runner if he ends up being the Patriots' de facto goal line back the way he was the Panthers' de facto goal line back. I think there's top 12, maybe top 10 upside there for him. And the talk about, well, you know, he doesn't have great receivers, I mean, I think that's overblown considering, you know, he had Steve Smith early in his career in Carolina. He had one really good year of Kelvin Benjamin. And beyond that, it wasn't great. I mean, it was less of a who's who and more of a who's that of wide receivers that he had in Carolina. So I think, you know, he's still got Julian Edelman. I think N'Keal Harry can take a step forward this year. He can dump the ball off to James White. I think the guys catching the football will be just good enough that if he can run a little bit, I think Cam can still be a QB1 this year.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, at his floor, I think he's a QB1. I'm just more optimistic on the passing volume. Like, the last time we saw a Brady-less offense, the Patriots were still top 12 in passing attempts. So I think they're going to run fast. I mean, the scheme is going to be complicated, but it doesn't have to start out that way. They can ease Cam in the first few weeks. Adam, any thoughts on Cam real quick before while I'm trying to, like, sidestep you?
No, I already know what I'm picking. So Cam is one of my favorite players of all time. I was really happy when I got the alert on my phone that it says Cam Newton is expected to sign with, and it got cut off, and then I clicked on it and it said New England. I was like, oh, I don't want to root against Cam Newton as a Bills fan. I probably won't anyway, because I hope he just balls out this year and proves everybody wrong, because he is the man. I am doing something really weird here. I don't know if Gronk retired while we've been recording this podcast again, but he's still on the board here. I'm going to take him. I'm going to pair him with Tyler Higbee and just ask questions later, because at the end of the 12th round, I don't think Gronk's going to be Gronk like of old, but at this point of the draft, I mean, why not? You're looking for upside at this point, and Gronk could score 10 touchdowns on 30 receptions this year. I don't think anybody would be shocked.
Honestly, that makes me feel better, because like I need to get a tight end, and I'm just like, there's a guy that I have in mind, but I'm like, if Gronk's still there, like, how can I not take Gronk? So thank you for making my decision for me. So I'll just go on ahead and, oops, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's go on ahead and just take Blake Jarwin here.
Mm.
Nice. Any worries about CeeDee Lamb there in Dallas with his target share?
Not really. I mean, look, I know that they didn't have CeeDee Lamb last year, but Jason Witten, who basically just would catch the ball and fall down, was still just outside the top 10. So let's take a guy who was younger and more athletic and give him some opportunity. I think Blake Jarwin has a pretty good ceiling this year. I think he can knock on the door of the top 10. I think he'll be fine there. So real quick, something else about Cam, and I don't remember who said this, but somebody made a really good point that just from a football standpoint, right, if you're the Patriots, you sign Cam Newton to what is, you know, for a guy of his stature, pretty much a bargain basement deal. If things go well, then suddenly you end up with a solid quarterback and you compete for the division yet again without spending a whole lot in salary. If it doesn't go well, then you haven't paid a whole lot and you end up with a really good draft pick, and maybe you wheel and deal and somehow back your way into Trevor Lawrence. Like, for the Patriots, like, I don't understand how the rest of the league lets this stuff keep happening. Like, I don't know if Bill Belichick has some Jedi mind trick over the rest of them. I don't really get it, but this just seems to be a win-win for kind of everybody, even for Cam, right? Like, you can walk in here and kind of play angry and get yourself a nice contract the following year. So, you know, I think it works for everybody.
I think it's absolute insanity. I mean, especially when you compare it to other moves, and like, I get the familiarity with Foles in Chicago, and this has been talked about a lot, but it's so egregious. Like, it makes no sense at all. For the life of me, I don't really understand. Like, even if his health isn't great, like, the Patriots didn't pay a king's ransom to get Cam in the door. Like, what's the hurt? They cut him and he's gone, as opposed to you paid a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles? Oh, my God. Get out of here, man. Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't.
So I know we talked about the Rams backfield. Marcus, you went with Darrell Henderson. Adam, your thoughts quickly on your wide receiver pick here in the 13th round.
I just like taking LaVisca Chenault with like my last pick in every draft because
that's a good pick.
I think he's really explosive. We had the report a couple months ago that they are trying to just get the ball in his hands in a variety of ways, whether it's on wildcat or screens or handoffs or whatever. And outside DJ Chark, like, who else is there for competition for targets? Leonard Fournette's catches are coming down. I know they added Chris Thompson, but he's not going to be a full-time player or anything. And then it's, you know, some Chris Conley, Dede Westbrook, you know, whatever they get from Tyler Eifert. And I know you like Josh Oliver, D-Bro. But, yeah, I just, at this, I probably should have taken Brandon Ayuk, but I just like swinging for the fences with LaVisca Chenault.
Nah, I like that Chenault pick. Yeah, that's probably what I should have done over Henderson. But
I actually like the Henderson pick, too, though, because him and Malcolm Brown are just not even being talked about. Like, I know Akers is better than both of them, but, I mean, there's still a chance that Darrell Henderson gets the most carries and, you know, last pick of the draft.
So, yeah.
Oh, and so, yeah, I mean, with the last pick of the draft, I mean, really, when you get back to these back ends of the rounds, like, it really comes down to if somebody gets hurt saying camp, or what are you staring at? Like, what are you looking at as far as who could be the guy in a backfield? And really, at this point in the draft, like, if this would be probably one of my later picks at the end of it, we would have gone deeper because he wouldn't have gone here in the 13th round. But I'm just going to go ahead, and I know that he just signed the contract, but if he gets hurt, Darrington Evans is going to own the backfield for the Titans. So with considering the draft equity in the 13th round, I can easily cut him if that doesn't come to fruition. Like I'm saying, like if this was like a 15, 16 round draft, I would have, you know, layered him in somewhere later, but it definitely needs to be mentioned here. So my team through 13 rounds, went Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, David Johnson, then really hit wide receiver hard, Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Cortland Sutton, Darius Slayton, Deontay Johnson. Then got my tight end with Mike Gesicki, quarterback Carson Wentz. And then it was really just the upside plays of Kelly, N'Keal Harry, and Darrington Evans. Adam, we're kind of run down your team for me real quick.
Yeah, fun draft. I finished with Matt Ryan at quarterback, Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor in the starting backfield. My three receivers in the starting lineup are Thielen, DJ Moore, Brandon Cooks. Tyler Higbee is my tight end. Dave Montgomery, my flex. And my bench, Will Fuller, Marlon Mack, Tony Pollard, Gronk, which I did not expect to draft. But and then LaVisca Chenault was my final pick.
Marcus, how are you feeling about your team?
I feel pretty good about it. I start with Saquon. Back that up the next two picks with Kenny Galladay, Mike Evans. Went back to running back at Mark Ingram. Sort of alternated between backs and receivers there. So we'll go Mark Ingram, Stephon Diggs, who's my third wide receiver there. Took Damian Williams as potential flex option there on my bench. Marvin Jones, Justin Jefferson with upside. Keyshawn Vaughn, potentially. We'll see how much work he gets, but there's some upside there. Matthew Stafford, because after taking Galladay and Marvin Jones, why not? Antonio Gibson on the bench with Blake Jarwin as my tight end, and then finishing it out with Darrell Henderson.
I like your draft. I feel like you took a lot of home run swings. Like, if they all pay off, like, round eight and later, like, you've got a lot of upside picks here. Just staring at the board real fast, any of these teams kind of stand out to you, Marcus, as far as questionable picks, any teams that you particularly like what they did?
I mean, I think, look, we talked about the Lev Bell pick at 211, which is sort of mind-blowing. I think, I don't say mind-blowing, but it's definitely earlier than I think I would have done. You know, I just think I worry about Keenan Allen a little bit there, just because, you know, there are so many unknowns in the Charger offense, I think, there. So that's one that sort of concerns me. I'm just looking at, I think... who was in the seventh pick? I mean, between Dalvin Cook, Nuke Hopkins, Patrick Mahomes, Cooper Kupp, Mark Andrews. I mean, that's a solid start, the first five picks there. So that's one that kind of jumps out at me. At least the way it starts there is really, really strong.
Yeah, and I think team one stands out to me a good bit. They started with Christian, obviously, with the first pick, took Christian McCaffrey. Then they went Aaron Jones. I'm not a huge Leonard Fournette guy, but taking him right there in the third, like, I get it. It really comes down to, like, what they did at receiver. Like, DJ Chark, Terry McLaurin, and Devontae Parker in the fourth, fifth, and seventh. I love those picks. I think that all of those wide receivers have wide receiver, what, top 15 wide receiver one upside? Like, that could be their ceilings this year. Adam, any teams that are standing out to you?
Yeah, I definitely like that team with how they got their receivers after going running back heavy to start. I also really liked D. Pirelli FFX's team at the 9 spot was really just strongly put together. There's just a lot of really good players on that team. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Allen Robinson, A.J. Brown is a really good start. And then you add some really nice floor plays with Tyler Boyd and Landry. Jordan Howard, if that Dolphins defense is better, he should be pretty solid. And I like how that team was constructed. And I liked how – I also liked, unfortunately, the team right before you, D-Bro, the T.D. Bryan 1's team. I just love those first four picks. Really, first five, you can add Dak in there. Dak, Odell Beckham, great. Juju, Kelsey, and Drake. I think those are really good – that's a really good start.
Yeah, I like that team. That was one I was going to mention. I love the way that how he started the draft. He went Kenyon Drake, Kelsey, Juju, and Odell. I think if I would have said anything different with that, I probably would have not gone Dak there and taken another running back, and that probably would be one of my favorite teams in the draft because they in that round, and that could have been where he was planning or he or she was planning on going, considering Montgomery, Akers, and Hunt went all ahead of that Dak Prescott pick. This was a lot of fun, guys. It feels good to get another mock under our belts. I know off season, it's mock season. So whether you're playing best ball, whether you're doing mock drafts incessantly, you got to get your reps in. It's just like every other muscle. The only way you can flex it is by working it out every now and then. But Marcus, anything real quick that you want to plug? You got to get in here that you're working on currently for NFL.com?
Yeah, I mean, just check out the podcast. We're doing it right now twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm kind of doing my fantasy camp series where we break down the divisions. So we've actually gone through the AFC, so the NFC starts this week, so that's fun. So check that out. And then you can see me on the network, on Inside Training Camp Live. I'll be doing hits on right now Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So just watch all of ITC Live, and then every once in a while I'll pop up. So we can just, go that way with it.
Absolutely, man. Well, thank you for stopping by the pod. If you are not following Marcus on Twitter, I don't know what you're doing, but he's at Marcus G on Twitter. We are going to post the draft board on the Twitter page for the podcast. It's at Chalk Fade. Slide up in the DMs. I will tag you in the post. Marcus, this was fantastic, man. We're going to be back with two more episodes this week. This is Fade the Chalk. We're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at Chalk Fade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.